This podcast is brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. You can find more podcasts and other resources on our website, www.acamh.org, and follow us on social media by searching ACAMH.
Hello, welcome to the In Conversation podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology. Today I'm interviewing Henrik Larsson, Professor of Psychiatric Epidemiology at Örebro University and Karolinska Institute in Sweden. Henrik is editor-in-chief of ACAM's new journal, JCPP Advances. If you're a fan of our In Conversation series, please subscribe on iTunes or your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. Henrik, thank you for joining me, and congratulations on your position as editor-in-chief of JCPP Advances. Can you start by introducing yourself?
Of course. Thanks a lot for inviting me. It feels great being here. And it also feels great taking on the role as editor-in-chief for JCPP Advances. I have to say I'm very proud of what we have accomplished this far, and I'm also very excited about future important achievements. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Henrik Larsson from Sweden. I actually have the same name as a famous football player from Sweden. Played many years in Celtics, but also shortly in Manchester United and Barcelona. And when I was younger, I was a quite good football player. Semi-professional, but I didn't really make it to the full professional level. In academia, I have a background in psychology. I did my PhD training at Karolinska Institutet in Sweden, and I focused on behavior ethics and epidemiology of child and adolescent mental health. I did a postdoc training in London at SGDP, King's College London, and I worked with people that I think is familiar to the ACAM family. I worked with S.A. Widing and Robert Plommen in particular. After 1 year in London, I moved back to Sweden and I started to build up my own group at Karolinska Institutet. And I'm now, many years late, professor of psychiatric epidemiology at Örebro University. And I'm also affiliated with Karolinska Institutet. I would say that the overall objective of my research is to understand how genes and environment influence mental health problems across the lifespan and understand the developmental course over time and understand sort of what are the consequences of having mental health problems in childhood and adolescence.
Henri, can I ask you how you came to be interested in child and adolescent mental health?
I have to say I was introduced quite early to key concepts of developmental psychopathology, which is sort of central for child and adolescent mental health. So I was introduced to it during my undergraduate studies in psychology, and I think I earned a more in-depth understanding during my PhD training. And also during my PhD studies, I focused on the impact of genetic and environmental influences on children and adolescent mental health. And I had a particular focus on ADHD during my PhD studies. And since then, I have done a lot of research, not only on ADHD, but also other neurodevelopmental conditions. I would say I've done research with a focus on child and adolescent mental health for the past 15 years or so.
We're going to talk about JCPP Advances. Before we go into detail, as you've just outlined, you've authored a lot of papers, over 300 peer-reviewed papers. What, in your experience, are the frustrating aspects of the publishing process for authors?
A good question. This is the first time I get this question. I guess probably the most frustrating aspect is getting a react, which you get a lot in academia when you try to publish. I mean, we can't do much about it. It's part of life in academia. And I think as a researcher, you need to learn how to cope with it. I think waiting is another frustrating aspect. Mm-hmm. Waiting for reviewer comments can be frustrating. as well as waiting for editor decisions. Waiting for accepted manuscripts to get published is another frustrating component. And I want to take the opportunity to point out that we work hard in JCPP advances to sort of keep the process short. And I'm quite pleased that we use approaches that hopefully should reduce several of these aspects of waiting. So one example is that when peer reviews are available, we reuse them. And we also use a continuous publication format. So as soon as the submission is ready for publication, it's published.
What have you started to bring to your role as editor-in-chief of JCPP Advances?
I mean, I use my past experiences and my expertise a lot. I have published a lot in many different journals, both general and more specialist journals. I have published with many different authors with different expertise and experience. I also have a lot of experience from international collaborative research efforts. And I think these past experiences will help me a lot in my role as editor-in-chief. Mm-hmm. And I guess as a consequence of being a quite active researcher when it comes to publications and projects, I have been able to establish a broad international network, which I also think is helpful. I have many mentors, many colleagues to turn to for input on things. And I think that is really essential both for me and for the journal. Other things, if I reflect on my career in academia, I think I can say that I really enjoy building strong teams. This is, according to me, a critical aspect of leading a successful research group. And I think it's also essential when leading the development of a new journal. I'm very pleased and proud of our team of editors that we have recruited, identified. They bring in lots of expertise to the journal on various different areas of child and adolescent mental health. They bring in energy, forward-looking perspective, which is essential both for me and for the journal. I also hope that my past experiences and the expertise that I have will influence, at least to some extent, the focus of the publications in JCPP Advances. I think I would characterize myself as a quite careful researcher. I like clarity a lot. Having a concrete and well-defined and important research question is very important to me in my own research. And I hope that myself and the team of editors can influence authors in JCPP Advances, take a similar direction. I have also been thinking quite a lot about study designs, strengths and limitations, how to interpret and balance in a balanced way. And I hope that JCPP Advances can have a positive impact on the field when it comes to these aspects. I mean, it would be really fantastic if JCPP Advances could help the field move towards clarity around pros and cons of different study designs and how findings from different study designs can be integrated, can sort of have a real world impact on important matters.
Henrik, can you tell me more about the importance of comprehensive and transparent reporting?
Yeah, of course. So I think that comprehensive and transparent reporting is another aspect that I care a lot about. It's essential. It's an essential component of open and reproducible science. And given that I value meta-analysis and systematic reviews, I think comprehensive and transparent reporting is an important factor to help facilitate that. So we need comprehensive and transparent reporting in order to be able to conduct high quality systematic reviews and meta-analysis.
JCPP Advances builds on the values of its sister publication, the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, and has a commitment to open science. But what are its main aims? You've probably touched on this a bit already.
I think the overarching goal is that the work published in JCPP Advances should lead to a better understanding and better outcomes for children and adolescents out there in society. I mean, the ambition of JCPP Advances is that it should be a home for high quality, high impact research in the field of child and adolescent psychology and psychiatry. being an open science journal, I think implementing critical and fundamental open science principles is also very important for us. That could include pre-registration, open data, open code, open material, etc. And as I pointed out earlier, I also hope that we can push the field towards more comprehensive and transparent reporting, which is very critical for reproducible research.
What challenges do you anticipate will arise in achieving those aims?
To start with, as I said, JCPV Advances have high ambitions and we are in a good position. We benefit a lot from the available critical mass within ACAM. For instance, I'm very impressed about the expertise available within the editorial office. And JCPP has for many years led the way in publishing state-of-the-art, forward-looking research in child and adolescent psychology and psychiatry. Personally, I also have benefited a lot from having the JCPP editor-in-chief, Professor Edmondson-Ogabark, as a mentor. So to sum up, I mean, we are in a good position. We have a lot already, but we also need to realize that it takes time to develop trust from authors in particular. It also takes time to set the standards needed to become a high impact open access journal.
Henrik, in an age where so much unregulated material can be accessed, what more can be done to promote evidence-based science?
Good question, important question. I think broad dissemination of research finding is key. And I think the ACAM family is doing a great job here with, for instance, the Research Digest, the Bridge, these podcasts, blogs, Twitter, etc. Also think many researchers needs to step up a bit and take on an increased responsibility. And okay. there is actually a strong push for this from society and also from several different funders. And I guess also on a more general level, I think we need to work harder to implement open science principles. Open access publications is of course one important component so that everybody can read and access reports and publications. But I also think it would be good if we involve society in the research to a greater extent.
Can you say how that can be done?
In actually early on in the research process, involve various stakeholders, ask what are the relevant questions for you to get society's perspective on what research should focus on. It's one example of how society can be involved to a greater extent when it comes to the actual research.
You mentioned before that researchers should step up. What stops them? Is it a matter of lack of confidence?
I think there are several different explanations to that. Many researchers are not feel comfortable in the situation. They're not trained for it. It doesn't come natural. That is one aspect. The other thing is that lots of researchers are overwhelmed with tasks. So it's a matter of time as priority.
So what can be done then to remove some of those barriers?
I think it's a very difficult question. I don't know what could be done on a higher level to sort of secure time. I guess given that there is a push, it comes from funders now. So nowadays, the dissemination and open access activities is becoming a natural part in the research projects, thanks to funders focusing more on it. There are also now, to a greater extent than before, funding available to focus on these issues.
Let's return to JCPP Advances. Are there any particular topics that are coming up that particularly excite you? What can your readers look forward to?
On the general level, I can tell that we see a lot of submissions based on available high-quality data, submissions that use clever designs and sophisticated analysis to address important knowledge gaps. And I have to say, it feels fantastic that authors of such high quality studies already now in these early days see JCPP advances as an alternative. So I'm very much looking forward to see some of these submissions published.
Henry, what else is in the pipeline that you'd like to mention?
We are now working hard to pull together a 2021 special issue on the physical health of children and adolescents with mental health disorders. This is a very important and understudied topic. We need to learn more about this. And we are also working hard on a special issue for 2022, which will focus on sex and gender differences in neurodevelopmental and psychiatric phenotypes.
And finally, what is your takeaway message for those listening to our conversation?
Yeah, I hope it's clear that JCPP advances have very high ambitions. We have had a good start, but we will work hard to become better on all relevant aspects. And finally, I would like to thank everybody for listening.
Henry, thank you so much. For more details on Professor... For more details on Professor Henrik Larsson, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. And don't forget to follow us on iTunes or your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.
This podcast was brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short.